We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm going to ask this one, Sean, because I want to get your opinion on this. This is from Josh Buffo, the Motivational Business Banker. What is your prediction for the apparel and TV network?
I think apparel, they're going to end up with one of the Nike brands, you know, whether it's Jumpman or regular Nike. I think that is the way it's going, unless Under Armour, you know, comes in with some 11th hour miracle and is able to keep it. You know, they obviously looked like they kind of wined and dined Marcus Freeman a couple of weeks ago when he went out there to the headquarters and all that kind of stuff. But it just feels like it's probably going to be Nike, because I don't think that they would jump, you know, back to Adidas at this point. And all the kids love the Nike stuff. So it seems
because we're not educating our children well enough about how these products are made and where and by whom, you know. Yeah, so
that's true too.
Yeah. You know,
unfortunately. TV, yeah. It just feels like it's probably going to end up being NBC, because mm-hmm. it's been there for three decades now at this point. And again, I'm not reading into the chair of NBC Sports is coming in, and therefore that, you know, means it's automatically going to end up there. But the relationship has been long. And so unless someone else comes in with a much bigger truckload of money, I think that it probably ends up staying on NBC.
I'm curious to see Notre Dame brought up something very interesting about the shoes thing. And I'm very curious to see, but like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see from Notre Dame, right? Like, well, nobody else does a thing where you have an apparel deal and then a shoe deal. That's kind of fascinating. And that's one of those things when I say I want to see Notre Dame be trendsetters, I would like to see Notre Dame be trendsetters. And that's the other
thing
too.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'd like for Notre Dame to say, you're a Catholic institution that only advocates for Catholic things that you believe in certain situations when it's not money related. So how can you be a Catholic institution that says, hey, we're a Catholic institution, and then go team with Nike or team with Adidas for an apparel deal and just ignore how those products are made because it's not happening in your country?
Right.
And so that's some of the hypocrisy that I just find relatively disgusting.
It would be interesting. Yeah, I think what you were kind of alluding to there is if you signed an apparel deal with whatever apparel company, but again, going back to the NIL thing, you let the players potentially sign their own shoe contracts where they could wear, you know, with whatever shoe company they wanted. Like whatever apparel you sign with would still be kind of the default, like for players who don't have their own NIL.
Right. They'd still have to provide cleats for players.
Right. But you leave open the option where the players could sign their own shoe deals with.
Because I'll be honest with you, I'd be all for going back to Under Armour if I hadn't heard so many bad things about their cleats.
Yes.
I mean, that's a, you know, so like maybe you sign an apparel deal.
It's not just cleats, it's basketball shoes as well.
Footwear. How about do that?
Yeah, footwear. Exactly. Exactly.
And so, hey, let's sign a clothing deal with you, but we're going to sign a shoe deal with so and so.
Yeah,
but then part of that shoe deal is if individual players want to sign with someone else, they can.
Just like it used to be, you know, before they were full-fledged with Adidas, remember they still wore Champion, you know, the football team wore Champion jerseys, but they were wearing Adidas footwear.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that would be something. And that, now that that could be a thing where, you know, you don't have to go with one of the big boys, because Nike's not going to be okay with you saying, well, kids can, I mean, they made Michael Jordan put a USA flag over his Reebok sign on his freaking, you know, You remember that nonsense on the Dream Team?
Uh-huh.
You think they're going to let kids, you know, if they have an apparel deal in their name, you think they're going to let kids wear Adidas or Reebok or Fila or Under Armour or whatever else they want to wear if they have some deal? No way they're going to do that. No way they'll do that. And so maybe that'll be the thing that ultimately kills that deal. And you and Under Armour says, hey, look, we'll go with it. Because if it's Under Armour, it's actually, you're kind of smart, because you don't have to pay as much, you know what I mean, to Notre Dame if you're not guaranteeing that you're going to always wear our shoes, you know? So we'll have the certain deal with you. And for Notre Dame, it's smart, because if you can sign two contracts, it's going to get you more than one, you know, cause you're going to get a little bit more on the apparel than you would have. But for Under Armour, it makes sense, cause now we don't necessarily have to provide shoes. We're still with Notre Dame. We're still, you know, when people rock Notre Dame gear around campus and stuff, you buy, it's all still going to be Under Armour. And so, but you're, so they don't have to pay as much, but they're, it's going to be more than Notre Dame. And then Notre Dame's going to get more from the another company just for shoes, you know? And so, I mean, I think that would also make a lot of business sense too, Sean. I mean, that's
for sure.
You know, like, it's like, if I'm going to hire two people to do one job and I say, well, I would pay one person 50. Well, the odds of me paying two people 25 are slim. I'm going to have to probably pay two people 40. You know what I mean? And that's just kind of how it goes. And it's the same thing on the reverse here. For Notre Dame. So I think that would make a lot of sense, because I love Under Armour's clothes.
I do too. I've got an Under Armour shirt on right now. Yeah, I own a ton of Under Armour shirts. You know, it's just the shoes.
Yeah. And my wife's not a big fan. She bought a pair of like Notre Dame colored Under Armour shoes and she didn't wear them very much. Yep. So yeah. All right. So good questions. Very good questions.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From James, what are you looking forward to over the next few weeks of recruiting?
Finishing. I mean, that's the big thing for me is finishing. I mean, look, you've got... You know, I wrote an article about this at the beginning of the month, you know, kind of end of May, where, you know, this month is going to define how good this class is going to be. And you had some important visitors this first weekend. Obviously, Gearby Lambert was an important visitor. Kedron Young was an important visitor. Bronte Johnson's an important visitor. Davis Andrews is an important visitor. But, I mean, coming up, you've got Elijah Rushing. You've got Kingston Viliama Asa. You've got some very important players coming on campus. Carter Nelson coming on campus this weekend. You know, if you're going to have any shot at landing Elijah Rushing, you got to knock it out of the park the next few days. I mean, you got to absolutely just dominate it so far. The good news for Notre Dame is the last two summers since Marcus Freeman's become the head coach, June has been their money month. I mean, they have been Notre Dame does a great job with official with visits. I mean, I don't know what it exactly it is they do, but man, kids just constantly leave Notre Dame in love with the place. Constantly. And you're like, you know, they're actually a player for this kid that I thought they had no shot at. And sometimes they don't even get the kid, Sean, but you're like, they had no shot at this kid before. And now they finish a close second, right? So this is the movement. These next 2 weeks are movement weeks. So what I'm looking forward to is, what is the vibe coming out of Kingston Viliame Asa in the next couple weeks when he's visiting USC this weekend, then Notre Dame, then Ohio State? You know, how far can you put yourself ahead of Ohio State going last visit? Can you know, what kind of movement can you make with Elijah rushing? How much movement can you make with Carter Nelson? A lot of people are thinking is leaning towards Georgia now. Nebraska's still a player there. You know, can you knock you know your three days with him out of the park to the point where you can get him? That's what this next few weeks are going to be about. And, you know, who can you close with? I mean, because they're at 19 right now. And one of the questions that we had in the chat, Sean, was, about do I still think that Notre Dame, here we go, from SH10 for Heisman, do you still think Notre Dame is not done with this week with commitments? I don't think they're done. And so, but now it's like, okay, that's great, but can you have the success in week two and week three that you had in week one? That's going to be the question. So, man, it's sure. It's closing time, Sean, right? I mean, and so that's what you get paid for, right? It's not,
yeah.
Hey, we finished second a lot. We're great at, no, it's finished first.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
I've finished second for, jobs in the past, and it does you absolutely no good when you finish second, you know?
Nope.
It's still the first loser. So.
Yep. Not for this job though.
No, that's right.
That's right.
Not finish second.
That's right. No, technically, I mean, you were every place. You were the only person that I was considering. So, I was like, I got to get that guy over here, man.
First,
so,
second, and third.
That's right. That's right.
It's like next my mom week, says by the me, way, next week is the first, is the 1 year anniversary of the first show.
I that's awesome. I knew it was coming up sometime this summer, but that's awesome. Hopefully it's been a fun, enjoyable year for you.
If you remember, we did, absolutely it has. We did the first show the day after Notre Dame beat Tennessee to go to the College World Series.
That's right. So there's a lot happening when you first got started.
Right. We had fun.
There's a lot happening. Yeah. So I'm glad. I'm very glad. It's like when my mom says to me, you're my favorite son. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't mean as much to me as you think it does because I'm your
still
only son.
Still the only son, right? All right, Josh Buffo, the motivational business banker. Does USC joining the Big Ten play any factor if the decision needs to be made for Notre Dame to join a conference? NBC getting Big Ten and the connection, NBC and the AD have thoughts on this?
I think it does, actually. I think that's about the only thing that's happened in the Big Ten in the last couple of years that I think actually moves the needle even a little bit for Notre Dame to joining the Big Ten. I think that's the only thing as far as what the Big Ten has done. Now, there may be other things that happen externally that then force Notre Dame to the Big Ten, but it's not because of what the Big Ten has done. It's because of other movement in college football. This new league starts. You have to be in one of two leagues if you want to be eligible for the postseason. That's what Notre Dame has always said. The only way we would join a league is if, you know, financially we just can't afford to not be in a league, which if this new deal is what it's going to be, then that's not an issue at all. And then the second one is we can't play for a championship in football. So if there's this new deal where there is no more NCAA and it's this new entity that's running college football and they say, hey, look, you've got to be in a league to win a chance to play for, you know, the postseason, then Notre Dame would have no choice. I don't see that happening anytime soon. But so that would be external forces, not Big Ten forces. There's nothing the Big Ten can do to force Notre Dame's hand. They've tried. They've tried plenty of times. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that they've done that even remotely might play in their favor is getting USC into the Big Ten. Because now your rival is in the league. You could join
the conference.
And it's now a conference game, not a non-conference game, which would then lead Notre Dame to be able to say, look, if they join the Big Ten and you got to play 9 conference games, well, USC's now, that's our rival that we play every year. That's part of the negotiation, which means you still now have 3 non-conference games to work with. So you can still have Navy and then still have 2 more to work with. I think that would be the only positive for joining the Big Ten. Yeah. And that's a small movement. For me, I'd rather stop playing USC than join the Big Ten If it can't, like if USC and the Big Ten tried to say, hey, you know, USC is not going to be able to play you consistently anymore if you don't join the Big Ten because of whatever reason, I'd say, well, it's been fun. Appreciate it.
Right.
Y'all, good luck in the Big Ten.
Right.
And we're going to go ahead and schedule somebody else.
Right.
I think that's what I think Notre Dame would do right now. And the Big Ten fans and Big Ten people, like Jim, what was the previous Jim Delaney used to think he could like boss Notre Dame around, and he'd always kind of, and it just it come like, oh no, they don't really care what you think, you know? And, I think with this new deal being coming around at the time that it is, and if they're able to get what we think they're going to get, they've lost all their leverage from a financial standpoint. It's now just about if somehow Notre Dame can't play for a championship, that's it. And I just don't see that happening anytime soon.
I mean, they've already got the inclusion in the 12-team playoff, you know, so that's taken care of.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. All right.
University of Southern Clowntown asks, what is one thing you guys would add to Notre Dame Stadium for the future? Ooh,
man. For me, it's easy. I want end zones that say Irish or Notre Dame. I would get rid of the lines. I understand the slashes are traditional, et cetera, whatever. Don't care. That's not a tradition that I find integral. Like I can't enjoy Notre Dame games anymore because they don't have slashes on the home field. Right. I think having end zones that would, I just think it would make for a more visually pleasing atmosphere. That's just something for me that I would absolutely do. That's the first thing for me, Sean.
I would probably just add seat backs, you know, rather than bleachers, since they're always so hell bent on making sure that you stay in your seats, you know, when you're in the game.
Yeah.
So you might as well be more comfortable sitting in your seat if they don't want you standing up.
And if you're going to move to seats, you're going to have fewer people in the stadium.
And yeah, and that's, I was thinking about that.
But I don't think Notre Dame cares about that. If they had to lose 10,000 people in the stands, I don't think they'd care because the seats would then become more valuable.
Just charge a little more.
Yeah. Right. Because it used to be where you had to stuff as many people in your stadium as possible because that was a big general. Sean Davis and I talked about this. It used to matter how many people were in your stands because that was a huge generator of your revenue. Mm-hmm. That changed when these TV deals started getting crazy.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, whatever, we don't care. That's like spending,
you know,
that's like
look at the NFL with this decision to flex late, you know, December games to Thursday night. You know, they're going to allow flexing of a Sunday game to Thursday, and it's because they don't care about the people who have made arrangements to go to a game. It's about the TV contract and the money that they're getting from TV. That's absolutely right.
Yep, absolutely. And college football is no different. They're not. Yeah. Notre Dame does not care if on September 23rd that stadium is all scarlet and gray, because you know what they're going to be thinking about? They're going to be counting the dollars that they're making from what they're making. Exactly. Yeah. And they're charging, you know, for this and that and the other thing. That's what they're going to care about. And they don't care about that because they don't care as much about fans as they used to and as much as they should. And eventually, I think it's going to bite them in the butt. A lot of these, we've learned with certain other companies that there are lines you can cross that eventually people say, screw you, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball has learned that to a degree in the last 30 years. And I hope college football eventually realizes, you know, this is a very loyal fan base, but even your loyal fan base has limits to where we're just like, I'm done with it. I'm over it, you know? And hopefully they don't get to that point, but so I think losing 10,000 capacity per game to have seats, I don't think would phase them one bit if they felt that was going to allow them to sell tickets for a lot more. Because in two seasons, it pays for itself, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, so yeah, good point, Sean. Is there another one? Like, you know, he asked for one. But is there anything else that you, when you look at, man, I really wish it had this?
You know, I've thought about the you know, putting Notre Dame in the end zones before as well. And I mean, they've already got the, you know, the Jumbotron or whatever you want to call it. There's really not a whole lot more that I would do at this point, because, you know, I know that the you know, the video thing was controversial for a long time, but I think it's worked out great. I think it's really added to the environment over there.
I think sometimes it drowns out the band, which I don't like.
Yeah.
You know, I still like bands to be part of it. Another thing I think it'd be cool to have a little bit more pomp and circumstance for home games. That's something I'd like to see. It's for like intros and stuff. Like you see, I mean, the fireworks and like the just coming. I wish there was a little bit more of that for Notre Dame games, but that's a sideshow part of it. It's not it's not keeping them from, man, Notre Dame would be able to win national titles if they would shoot more fireworks off before
a game. But, you know, they figured it out for the night games.
Yeah.
That's for sure. They figured it out. They get the night games and all those recruits in there.
Yeah. So, that's a minor aesthetic cool thing that has nothing to do with the outcome of the game, in my opinion. I mean, Oklahoma did as much pomp and circumstance before that 2012 game as I've ever seen. And look what happened. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it really doesn't matter.
Enter Sandman, Virginia Tech.
Okay. That was cool.
We have to hear about that.
Yeah. Now we're about to beat your brains in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right. Here's one. This is from Michael Johnson. What are the chances Notre Dame switches Fox or CBS, in your opinion?
I mean, if the bid comes in right, I could see it happening. That's still kind of the X factor in this is there going to be a second serious, bidding partner in this whole thing?
Right.
Is someone going to come in? But the other part of that still is also going to be, I wonder, let's say Fox or CBS, just using them because there aren't that many other, potential suitors out there. Let's say that they're going to offer $10 or $15 million more, but they want more control or total control of, like, they're going to make you kick off at noon for home games, for example, things like that. They're going to dictate those game times more. Would you be willing to give up control of that for another 10 or 15 million bucks? Like, how much is that? Yeah. How much of a factor is that going to be?
Well, and as we're finding out, Sean, that some of those things matter a lot to these schools in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the big pushback is like, no, we don't want to be playing night games in November.
Yeah, it's like, shocker, you just signed a contract with the whole thing is about having primetime Big Ten conference games. Shocker, you're going to have to play some of those in November where it's cold outside.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of funny. So it's kind of like, I mean, we see this all the time, right, Sean? I mean, we see this and we had one politician say, you got to pass the bill, so we can find out what's in it. Right. So, I mean, if we're having that happen at Congress, and then why would we be surprised that these schools don't exactly know everything that's in a TV deal because they were so enamored with the bottom line? It's like, well, hey, yeah, this works for us. Look at the number. Uh-huh. And hold on a second. This doesn't work for us. You know, the people that actually have to, play the freaking games, So I'm actually glad to hear the coaches and stuff pushing back on that. I like that. I hope that Kevin Warren. I mean, that freaking guy.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Oh, Mark, thank you for the super chat, by the way. Mark, I got a notion that the football team has a good chance this year. Your thoughts?
Well, this is that season for optimism, right, Sean? I mean, this is like you have some people say, well, I can't get too excited because of this. And I'm like, look, it may not work out. But like if it doesn't work out, then you're going to be miserable. So at least have some joy now. You know what I mean? And don't convince yourself it's going to suck or it's going to be bad. And then you never have any joy. This is what the offseason is supposed to be about. It's that eternal optimism. I do think this team has a chance to be really good. There's a lot of questions. They've got a lot to prove. They still have to show that they can beat a team like Ohio State, something they haven't done in a long time. The defense has to, get better. The offense, has all the pieces in place, but I don't know what a Jared Parker offense is going to look like. I have some ideas of what I think they think it's going to look like, but we don't know until we see it. I think the offensive line could be pretty good, but there's a couple big question marks there. Are there going to be any devastating injuries? I mean, there's so many questions. You say, hey, look, I don't know if they can beat this team, but then that team has three devastating injuries during the season that makes them more beatable. There's always so much can happen, but I'll just say this. Am I predicting Notre Dame to win the national championship right now? The fan side of me says yes. The analyst side of me says no, because I'm a believer that you're the champ until somebody beats you. And until somebody beats Georgia, they're the favorite to win, right? I mean, they've lost one game in 2 years. Do I think this Notre Dame team has a much better chance of playing with those teams than they've had in a number of years? Absolutely. Now they just got to go prove it. And that's pretty much where I'm at with this team, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. I I agree with all that. You know, I think depth could be the biggest thing with this team. If you were to sustain injury, you know, like I saw somebody just say, as long as Hartman doesn't get injured, you know, if you're in a situation like you were in last year where you lose the starter in the second game of the season, then, you know, that could definitely swing things in a hurry. And, you know, you're still, even though we know that this wide receiver core is talented and we have pretty high expectations of them, you are still counting on, you know, a relatively young, you know, a young and talented group of inexperienced guys. You know, mm-hmm. we know what their potential is, but we've still got to see it. I do think that Hartman can bring it out of them. So.
And youth for me, Sean, is not something that concerns me much at receiver and running back. It just doesn't. Youth in and of itself.
Right.
I mean, you look at teams that have won championships, they've had very young receiving cores in certain years. LSU, Clemson had a sophomore quarterback, sophomore receiver, freshman receiver, sophomore receiver as their four best players. But they were really, really good players, you know. And that's the thing this group has to have. I'm not so much concerned about the youth. I think the part you nailed is they have to prove it. The talent's there. I'm not worried about the youth. They're not as young as they were last year. I mean, Jaden and Dion are juniors now. Tobias is a sophomore. Tyree's a senior. You know, they're going to have some experience, but they haven't proven that when they play on September 23rd against the Buckeyes and there's 2 minutes left and you're down by six and you need a touchdown to win it, they haven't proven it right now that those guys are the type of money players. They step up and, I got this. Don't worry about it. Just get me the ball. I'm going to go make this play. And they got to prove that. But the other part of that too is the thing that you look at it from a Notre Dame standpoint, say, yes, those are question marks. Who's going to be the pass rusher to replace Isaiah Foskey? Who's going to step? But then you say, well, but Ohio State has to figure out how the heck they're going to replace C.J. Stroud. They have to figure out how they're going to replace, you know, three really good starters on the offensive line. Then that's kind of where some of my optimism comes from too, Sean, is because a lot of those other teams have questions that are just as big, if not bigger, than Notre Dame. I mean, who's the star wide receiver that Georgia's had the last 2 years? Ladd McConkey, Jermaine Burton?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's because they were great in other places. I don't think Notre Dame is as good enough to win with that type of receiving core, which means there's going to be a little bit more pressure on their receivers to win. But I also don't think they need to be 2019 LSU either. And so how good are they going to be? But you know, Bama's got big question marks. Ohio State has big question marks. Georgia has big question marks. Clemson has big question marks. Michigan doesn't have as many question marks, but still some. I mean, you know, and so I look at it and say that's part of my optimism is Notre Dame is not the only team with these questions.
Right.
And I also think we learned a lot about Marcus Freeman in the last seven games of last year that also we know more about him now than we did a year ago.
True.
At this time. And he's now more prepared to handle the prep for a Duke, an NC State, a Louisville, a Pitt, where it might be those trap games that like we saw last year to where he knows how to get his team on more of a steady emotional plane. So it's not like you don't want to be like tamp it down like Kelly did, but you also don't want it being this
right
from week to week. And I think kind of getting it here is the thing that he was trying to find last year where we don't lose our emotion, we don't lose our fire, but our mental focus stays the same. And that's an important piece of this. And I think he's learning how better to get that out of his team. It's like one change is, you know, last year was like every week there was this new theme for the game. I can't remember who told me this. I can't remember who told me this, but it was basically, he was talking to some of the captains. Like one of the things that we did after Stanford was it just became the same theme week after week. It was like, we didn't change it. It was like, this is what we do. This is who we are. Lesson learned. Well, now that lesson is going to benefit them this year where it hurt them a little bit last year because it sounded like a good idea. Then you go out and do it. And this is part of the learning process as a coach, right? And some former head coach might have said, yeah, I could have told you that one going to work. Well, how do you know that one going to work? Because I tried that in my second year and we got our butts kicked, right? And that's, you know, you don't know what you don't know till you experience it and realize you didn't know it. And then now you do. And that's another reason why I don't expect them to be a 10-year grizzled vet now, but he's going to be better than he was last year. And he's going to have a coach that I think there's a greater faith in him and he has faith in them than what he did last year as well. Coaching staff. I think that should help as well. But now it's prove it time, right?
Yep. Joe, trying to find out as much as I can about this Pete Bavakwa, I'm sure he has negotiated huge deals, but what about when it comes to hiring coaches? Has he ever done anything in that vein?
No, I mean, he's hired people to run different aspects of his organizations, but it's a completely different animal than a coaching, right?
Right.
I mean, and so we don't know that. And to me, it's the hiring part's not as hard as the firing part, honestly, for me. And I know some people may think that's weird, but I think you can hiring a coach. It's like, was it really that difficult to look at Nyel Ivey as the ideal candidate for the women's basketball team? Right. I mean, She's an alum. She's coaching the freaking NBA. She was an assistant on the national championship team and then a runner up team. She won a national championship player. Like, this is kind of a no brainer. The question would be, you know, if there isn't a level of success, do you know how to get out of that at the right time? I think those often, this is one of my beefs with Brian Kelly. I wasn't upset that Brian Kelly hired Brian Van Gorder. Nick Saban's been made equally bad hires. We're close, not equally bad, but close. Urban Meyer's made some bad hires like that. The difference is those guys got out of those hires in like a year, right. You know, and you know, he Urban Meyer, for all his genius as a coach anyway, decided he can have Tim Beck and Ned Warner running his offense. Well, then when they beat 31-0 in the playoff, he was like, yep, that's not going to work. He got rid of him and brought in, I forget who he brought in after that, Kevin Wilson, right? And then eventually Ryan Day. He didn't go 3 years until it was a complete train wreck to get out of those hires. So it wasn't the hiring process that Brian Kelly made a lot more good hires than he made bad hires, a lot more. Defensive coordinator, offensive line. The problem was he wouldn't get out of the bad hires.
Yeah. Wouldn't cut bait when it was time.
And that was the bigger issue.
On the wall. Yeah.
And I think that's the more challenging thing for me to as a leader of an institution like this is it's not so much, and it's the same thing in business, Sean. I mean, hey, I got this guy and he's not producing. Well, how long are you going to stick with this? You know, before you say we got to do something. And the great ones can anticipate, hey, I'm going to stick with this because there's certain things that are really sound. And I know if I just stick with this for another year, we're going to really flourish. And you need to be smart enough to be able to know that. But you also need to be able smart enough, like, hey, look, not only are we losing money, but the fundamentals are bad. The culture is bad. There nobody's on the same page. There's no leadership. We got to go now. Whereas, hey, look, this is a well-oiled machine. It's just going to take them some time to get, you know, everything going, and they're going to be fine. The great leaders are the ones can identify which one of those are true and cut bait when you need to cut bait because you know it's just not going to work, but be willing to see through a rough season of a coach. And I think that's kind of was Jack Swarbrick's thought on Brian Kelly. Like, look, last year was a disaster. He's got to make some changes, but this is still the same guy that led us to a title game 3 years ago and who was this. And I don't know that there's somebody out there better on the market right now than him. So I'm going to see this through, but make sure that there's changes or whatever. And it worked out, right? It ended up working out. And then there's other people that, you know, fire a coach and too early. And then they say, like, Clemson could have easily made the decision to fire Dabo Swinney after they lost 70-33 in the Orange Bowl. I mean, they were kind of struggling. They had a couple bad years and it's an embarrassing loss. But they said, hey, we like some of the things he's doing. We're going to let him make some coaching changes and see this thing through. And lo and behold, 2-3 years later, you know, they're playing for a championship and 4 years later, they're winning their first championships in 1981.
Right.
Right. And so that's what good leadership does, knowing when to cut bait, but also knowing when to see it through. And that's something that Joe, when it comes to this, I have no idea how he's going to handle that because doing that in business is a lot easier. You can look at it. The internals are this. We got to make a decision.
You can see a definite bottom line in many cases. Yeah.
This is a little bit harder. It requires more evaluation of people. And then it does in business. And so I that's an unknown. I have no idea how that's going to go.
Yep.
But hopefully we don't have to find out anytime soon. I hope everything is just rocking and rolling and we don't have to find out. But that's the other thing too, Joe. He's not going to have to make any of those big moves, hopefully, anytime soon. And you know, because I don't see Nyel like being gone anytime soon. I don't see Michael Shrewsbury leaving anytime soon. And I don't see Marcus Freeman necessarily leaving anytime soon. Right. So hopefully, and if one of those coaches leaves, it's most likely because they had a ton of success and it's a lot easier to make a hire when you've got this great product to sell than it is when, well, this coach ran this into the ground and you know, now we got to go find somebody. So hopefully he won't have to make a decision like that anytime soon. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. This is from Mark. He says, you're explaining things is why I super chat. Plus I'm South Bend boy, South Bend, Washington. thank you for that, Mark. I appreciate that
very, very much.
And hopefully the answer was one that gave you some excitement about what this season is going to be.
Joel, choose your own Faustian bargain. Notre Dame gets $100 million per year, remains independent, but it's with ESPN, or Notre Dame gets $85 million or whatever each team gets per year, but they have to join the Big Ten.
That's an easy one for me. I'm taking the $100 million and being on ESPN, whatever. I mean, I hate ESPN, but what's the one thing we've always said? They put on a they put on a good football product. I mean, they ESPN broadcasts are pretty good. It's the other not stuff that I don't like. It's SportsCenter. It's the other stupid shows. It's the talk. That stuff I don't like. It's their politics. Not that I dislike their politics. I do. But it's, I don't want to hear anybody's politics when I'm watching shows. So I just don't watch them. And so, but man, as far as the quality of watching a broadcast is really good. And so but
for the most part, they disappointed me a couple times last year.
Like, oh yeah.
Let me hear. They missed a touchdown against North Carolina. And then
For Notre Dame? Yeah. But again, that's not it. If Notre Dame was their baby that they were giving $100 million to, you know, I don't know if they would do that. But yes, that's a good point.
It'd be different. Yeah.
Well, and they missed the touchdown in the bowl game. Remember, right. They missed the snap on the touchdown.
The fake. Yeah.
So you'll get a little bit of that. Yeah, that's a good point. But I just think the overall quality of the broadcasts are good. In my opinion, I think that that's one thing they do. Now, their announcers are annoying, but I've kind of found that I find most announcers annoying. And unless they hire Joel Klatt and Gus Johnson, which is kind of funny that, you know, I find announcers annoying, but I love Gus Johnson.
Like him. Yeah.
You know, but I just think he makes games fun to watch. But I would take that. Independence means way more to me than what specific TV network that they go with.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're going to give me a $15 million more per year and I get to stay independent, but my drawback is I have to sign with ESPN. Hey guys, I don't care much for NBC either. So I don't like ESPN, but
yeah, it's not like we've talked about earlier in the show, it's not like the quality of NBC has been so great that it's like,
there's no loyalty there for me. Yeah. Anymore. So yeah, that's an easy one, Sean. What would your answer be to that? I mean,
absolutely. I completely agree with every, you know, with what you just said. I would, if it means staying independent, I would actually absolutely keep that deal. I would not care which network it happened to be with.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite the Faustian bargain. I would take that in a heartbeat, Sean, in a heartbeat.
Thanks for the super chat, Brandon. But before I read this super chat, though, by the way, I need to leave here in a second because I've got a show in a little bit more than an hour. I still have to post the show, so I don't know what you want me to do. But
yeah, we're getting close, Sean. We've got about four more questions here. We won't add any new ones to it, so we'll be out of here.
Okay. All right.
No time.
Brandon wants to know, what's the deal with the Menke and his recruitment? You think it's likely Notre Dame gets beat out by Duke here, like other sites are reporting?
I don't know what other sites are reporting. I'll just leave you with this, Brandon, because you know I'm someone who doesn't like to steal a kid's moment. I could very much see Paul Menke picking Duke. In that reality, Duke will not have beaten out Notre Dame. And I'll just leave it at that. And we can move on. And right. You know my number. You can shoot me a text. I can maybe explain it later. But yeah, if he picks Duke, which could very well happen, it will have nothing to do with Duke beating out Notre Dame. And someday, when the time is right, I'll be able to share what I'm referring to. But you guys know where I'm coming from on that one. So
yep, sure.
Yeah, here we go.
Irish Okie, what about Joe Davis as a future Notre Dame announcer or IB guest? He grew up in Michigan, big Notre Dame fan, new voice of the Dodgers, following Vin Scully, national Fox MLB lead, Fox College Football play-by-play. I didn't know he was a Notre Dame fan, but
interesting. Neither did I. I don't know that I know who Joe Davis is. I don't watch baseball anymore, so, and I don't remember. I mean, I may have, if I saw him, let me see his face. I may have seen him doing a college football game, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember much of his college football. Yeah. I mean, he does some NFL on Fox. I think he might have had one of the playoff games for Fox last year, if I remember right. You know, he's one of the he might be the number two guy in the Fox booth, but
okay. He looks familiar. I just can't put a voice to it.
I've definitely heard him do some football or some baseball. You know, and like I said, I know I've heard him do, you know, I wouldn't know how to describe him to you other than that. But I mean, he's only going to be a Notre Dame announcer if Notre Dame ends up on Fox, you know.
If he does a good job, sure.
Yeah.
we can reach out, but right now there's just not a lot of I don't know if there's a lot of connections there at this point in time. But yeah, I'll look into him.
Tracking down network guys is not easy. So
yep. All right. Here's an interesting question.
Promise it's not a Justin Scott question, is the handle. He asks, if you can only get one of this weekend's official visit commits, which one is your most important to land?
It would be this weekend. It would be Elijah Rushing. It'd be Elijah Rushing for me. Let me just quickly look at the visit list. I'm pretty sure, because I mean, I love Carter Nelson, but I don't think I would pick him over Elijah Rushing. So this week's visitors, Carter Nelson, Elijah Rushing. Yeah, it'd be Elijah Rushing.
That's a pretty easy one for me.
Yep, that's a pretty easy one for me. Here's one. You can actually answer this one, Sean, because I know you know the answer to it.
Jason, does Notre Dame only hire men of the cloth for president of Notre Dame? Yes.
Easy answer. Super chat from Mark 1, Mayock calling games. I would have no problem if Mike Mayock came back and was calling games.
I wouldn't either.
None.
I don't think a lot of people would.
I enjoyed him immensely. Here we go from Scott O.
Scott, what are the cutoffs for Notre Dame football? One, getting an excellent deal for broadcast of its home games. Two, getting a good deal. Three, mediocre. Four, disappointing. Or five, bad deal.
I mean, I think the cutoff needs to be two. I mean, I don't think a mediocre deal right now is something that I'd be willing to accept, to be completely honest with you. But what would a mediocre deal be?
Right.
You know, to me, less than... I mean, because you could say, okay, well, what if you only got 45, which is, you know, 10 to 15 below what people have said in the past is like the minimum. Well, okay, that wouldn't be great, but you're still getting $10 million from the ACC, so you're still doubling up your TV revenue. Plus, you're going to get a much bigger apparel deal. So, I mean, I guess that'd be a mediocre deal. So I could somewhat live if it's the high end of the mediocre deal. I could probably live with it. But, I mean, you need to be one or two.
Absolutely. I mean, Your independence is riding on it.
Right, exactly. That's a great point. That's a great point. I mean,
you can't go to mediocre.
Really, not a lot to say besides that. Your independence is riding on it. I mean, that's a great way of putting it, Sean. I mean, and it's spot on. I mean, if you get a mediocre deal, it's going to be a lot harder for you to remain independent for the next 10 years.
Right.
It's going to be really hard.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, I don't even, man. Ian Johnson just says, I don't care who announcers are as long as they're knowledgeable about what they're talking about. I agree. But
that's fair.
I also think there needs to be some level of audio quality to a person. Like if you get some guy that has this really annoying voice, but he's really smart, I'm still not going to really want to listen to him for 3 hours. I'm just not. You know what I mean? Like
there's a, you know, I don't watch like a ton of NBA basketball, but I watch some, and there's a certain guy who does both NBA as well as some college games as well for CBS. And I'm not talking about Kevin Harlan, but this other guy, if he's doing a game, I just can't listen. I just cannot stand his voice.
Yeah, so. It's interesting. I mean, and there's been some people like that over the years that I've just like, God, I can't listen to this guy.
Yeah.
But like Jim Nance is, you know, knowledgeable. He does, but he's just got a great voice and presentation as well.
Right.
It's you know, and the good ones are guys that can, like, I think one thing about Mike Tirico that I liked is he would make the guy next to him better with the way that he would lead them into things and get it back on track. And there's a talent to that as well. I mean, so it's, you can be knowledgeable, but not do a good show and not put on a good product. And so I think knowledge is important. It can be a deal breaker for me, but if it's two knowledgeable people, I'm going to hire the guy that is more audio pleasing to listeners and someone who's really good at leading the broadcast smoothly through a game. And that's something where, you know, when you think of who are the great ones, like the reason that I thought John Madden and I'm drawing a blank on
Pat Summerall
were so good is because Pat Summerall knew how to get John Madden back on track.
Right.
But also knew how to get John Madden to be John Madden. And he let John Madden be John Madden, but then he could get it back to the other thing. And he had that voice.
And Pat Summerall could say less because and be much more low key because John Madden was going to say more and was going to have a lot more exuberance to go
right with. So I think when you look at those things, and here's the thing, Pat Summerall was a former NFL football player, correct?
Right. Played for the
Giants. So it's not like he didn't know football, but he knew his role and he knew how to, and if that guy's not good, it's going to be harder for the color guy to be good.
Right.
Like I think the play-by-play guy, a good play-by-play guy is the ultimate key to a good broadcast, in my opinion, because you can have a really knowledgeable color guy. But let's say I'm doing color. Sean, what would be the one problem that the play-by-play guy would have to always be on his P's and Q's about if I'm doing color with him? You can say it.
Like not talking as much?
Yes, exactly. Hey, man, we're on to the next play.
What we were talking about. Yeah, right. That's right.
So a good play-by-play guy would have to say, hey, man, like, okay. But then also not do it in a way that it's he's shutting you down, right? I mean, so those things are important. So you've got to know what are the strengths and weaknesses of your sidekick and then and lead it down a good path. So I think that's a very underrated part of being a play-by-play guy. Yeah. That the great ones do. Jim Nance is great about that. He was great about kind of reining Billy Packer in when Billy Packer was kind of getting fired up, like, okay, we're going here. Right. And that's what I think makes the to me, that defines a broadcast. And maybe that's different for me because I know football. I don't need the color guy to explain it to me. Right. Even though I enjoy listening to Tony Dungy, guys are good at it. But I need a good play-by-play guy that can really tell a story despite the fact I'm seeing it. And that's a gift. And then make it entertaining. And that's why I like Gus Johnson. Is I mean, he's good at those things, but he's entertaining. I enjoy – he can make a four-yard run sound exciting. Right. You know what I mean? And, yeah, you know, there's other people that can make a – like I remember it was the Clemson game last year. There was something big happened. And just listening to Collinsworth and Garrett, it's like, God, you guys made that sound really boring. And it was a really big play, you know what I mean? And it's just like, gosh, dog, you know, Gus Johnson's over here making a hitch route completion for to convert a second and four sound like you just won a Super Bowl. And you guys aren't able to, you know, make this play exciting. And I think that's a big part of it for me anyway,
absolutely.
Sean.
Absolutely.
Anyway. All right. So that's going to do it, Sean, for this one. I enjoyed the show. Why don't you take us out of here?
All right. Well, you know what to do. Hit the like button and, of course, subscribe, rate, review. 1 hour from now on this very same platform, IB Nation Sports Talk comes your way. I've got Notre Dame women's basketball coach Neil Ivey. I asked her about the Jack Swarbrick announcement today, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about Marcus Freeman as the women's basketball super fan and a whole lot more. Olivia Miles, an update on her and her injury and all the new additions to the roster and everything else. So that's coming up an hour from now. And then Jesse's going to be with me for rapid fire as well. Brian, enjoy.
You guys talk about that freshman class, Sean? Talk about that at all? Nice.
Talked about the incoming freshman,
Hannah
transfer
Bogle
portal players.
Is a beast.
Yep, that's right.
I can't wait to watch her play.
Yep. So we've got all that coming up an hour from now. Brian, I will talk to you later. Everyone
Thanks,
else.
Thanks, Sean.
Hopefully we'll talk to you in an hour.
Hey, head to IB Nation Sports Talk, everybody. Go get some dinner, chill, relax, and then be ready for it. It's going to be a great show. Talk to you all soon.
All right.